ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्ट तृषामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदित। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। दिस इज कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट नंबर 10। गंध आकृति स्पर्श रस श्रवांसी विसर्ग रति अर्ति अभिजल्प शिल्पा एकादशम् स्वीकरणम् मम इति शय्याम् अहम् द्वादशम् एक आहो। गंधाकृति स्पर्श रस श्रवांसी विसर्गरत्यर्थ भिजल्प शिल्पाः एकादशम् स्वीकरणम् ममेति शय्यामहम् द्वादशम् एक आहुः। गन्धाकृति स्पर्शरसस्रवांसी विसर्गरत्यर्थ विजल्प शिल्पाः एकादशम् स्वीकरणम् ममेति शय्यामहम् द्वादशम् एक आहुः। गन्धाकृति स्पर्शरसस्रवांसी विसर्गरत्यर्थ विजल्प शिल्पाः एकादशम् स्वीकरणम् ममेति शय्यामहम् द्वादशम् एक आहुः। गन्धाकृति स्पर्शरसत्सर्वांसी विसर्गरत्यर्थविजल्पशिल्पाः एकादशम् स्वीकरणम् ममेति
एक आहो।
Gandha, smell. Akriti, form. Sparsha, touch. Rasa, taste. Sarvansi, and sound. Visarga, evacuating. Rati, sexual intercourse. Arti, movement. Abhijalpa, speaking. Shilpaha, grasping or releasing. Ekadasham, 11th. Svikaranam, accepting as. Mama, mine. Iti, thus. Shayyam, this body. Aham, I. Dvadasham, 12th. Eke, some. Aho, have said. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sound, touch, form, taste, and smell are the objects of the five knowledge-acquiring senses. Speech, touch, movement, evacuation, and sexual intercourse are the objects of the working senses. Besides these, there is another conception by which one thinks, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, and so forth. This 11th function, that of the mind, is called the false ego. According to some philosophers, this is the 12th function, and its field of activity is the body. Please repeat. Sound, touch, form, taste, and smell are the objects of the five knowledge-acquiring senses. Speech, touch, movement, evacuation, and sexual intercourse are the objects of the working senses. Besides this, there is another conception by which one thinks, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, and so forth. This 11th function, that of the mind, is called the false ego. According to some philosophers, this is the 12th function, and its field of activity is the body. Purport. There are different objects for the 11 items. Through the nose we can smell, by the eyes we can see, by the ears we can hear, and in this way we gather knowledge. Similarly, there are the karnamindriyas, the working senses, the hands, legs, genitals, rectum, mouth, and so forth. When the false ego expands, it makes one think, this is my body, family, society, country, etc. Om Jnanatimarantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Vande Shri Gurudevam Tam Karuna Varanalayam Yat Kripa Lavaleshin Apam Aropya Marayate. This is a discussion of Sankhya categories, and here we're talking about three things, actually 11 things, in three categories. The first category is the knowledge-acquiring senses. Those are called jnanendriyas, the intake, sensory intake, you can say, with which you orient yourself in this material world. What are the knowledge-acquiring senses? Sound, touch, form, taste, smell. Then you have the karmendriyas, the things with which you, that's output, things which with which you act in this material world. Those are another five. That brings us to 10. Here Srila Prabhupada has listed the karmendriyas, the hands, legs, genitals, rectum, and mouth, and so forth, he says. These are the traditional five, pancha karmendriyas. Then there's an 11th function, the mind, manas, this is what we're talking about. The context of this verse is a discussion of Jarabharata with King Rahugana, and Jarabharata is discussing the mind's activities that was begun when? Back in text number 8, it looks like. Manaso vritti, the functions of the mind. So the chief aspect, according to some philosophers, is the ego, false ego. That's called ahankara, and that's considered to be the 12th. Its field of activity is the entire body. False ego. First you have expanded from the Lord this prakriti, nature, his nature. That prakriti is manifest in the mundane sphere as mahatattva, the aggregate elements. Within that mahatattva, we have the principal cause, if you will, of the material manifestation is false ego. For within the, as the false ego's function is to govern the mind, the mental activities. And here we're discussing the mental activities. Mental activities, their field of activity is the five working senses, the five knowledge acquiring senses. This is the idea. Any questions on this verse? These are traditional Sankhya categories, 11 of them. There are 24 categories in Sankhya philosophy. This is accepted in Bhagavad Gita. It's also accepted in Srimad Bhagavatam. These are 11 of them, and they're mentioned here because they are the functions of the mind. No questions? Then we'll go on to the next verse. Dravya svabhavashaya karma kalair ekadashami manaso vikaraha sahasrashaha satashaha kotishascha kshetragnyato namitho nasvata siyuhu. That means that the physical elements, we have another five here. Physical elements, nature, the original cause, culture, destiny, and time element are all material causes. Agitated by these material causes, the 11 functions that we've just mentioned transform into hundreds of functions, and then into thousands, and then into millions. By all these transformations, but all these transformations do not take place automatically by mutual combination. Rather, they are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I had actually prepared to speak on this verse, which is why we summarily went over the last one, which is actually pretty simple anyway. It's just a list of those 11 categories from Sankhya philosophy. But this verse is very interesting, and particularly the first line, dravya svabhava ashaya karma kalair. These are five categories. Dravya, what does dravya mean? Prabhupada here has translated it as physical elements. Physical elements. Huh? Physical objects, better yet. This is a good point. We see there's one translation given in the translation. There's a different translation given in the synonyms. Gopi Puranadhana Prabhu told me that the synonyms are actually more important than the translations. Actually, Jayadvaita Maharaj told me that Prabhupada told him that. The synonyms are more important than the translations. And so dravya means, here it means physical elements. We might think physical elements. Well, this is the Mahabhutas, isn't it? No. It isn't. What are the Mahabhutas in Sankhya? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. These are the great elements, five great elements, we say. That's not what we're talking about here. We get a hint of that because Srila Prabhupada's synonyms here paraphrase what Sridhar Swami has written in his commentary called Bhavartha Deepika on this verse. By physical objects, Sridhar Swami says, dravya vishayaha. Vishaya means a physical object, sense object, you can say. So, that's one thing. Then the next thing is nature. When we hear the word nature, what do we think of? pretty mountains, beautiful lake, nice path through the woods. No, that's not here. And Srila Prabhupada gives us some hint of that. Swabhava means by nature as the cause of development. Where is he getting that from? Again, Sridhar Swami says, Swabhavaha Parinama Hetuhu. Swabhava means the cause of your transformations. In the 10th canto, after Krishna has pulled down the twin Arjuna trees in the courtyard of Mother Yashoda, because he's tied to the Ulukula, the grinding mortar, with a rope around his waist. And he crawled away, and he pulled that Ulukula between these two Arjuna trees, and he pulled them down. According to Krishna's young friends, two shining men came out of the tree and started to talk to Krishna. So what did they say? They said, he is Sarva-kshetra-vikara-vit. Sarva-kshetra-vikara-vit. That means he knows all the changes that we go through. He knows all of our transformations. Not only our mental transformations, because that's the topic of this passage of Srimad Bhagavatam, our mental passages, our mental changes, if you will, mental transformations, and how they are responsible for the development of our next body. That's called parinama hetuhu. And particularly, the agent of that change is swabhava. What does swabhava mean? Your own nature. Your own acquired nature. It is a conditional nature. It's not an eternal nature. It's going to change, but it changes imperceptibly slowly. So you cannot understand what is taking place, and therefore, through false ego, we identify with it. So we have dravya. We have the sense objects themselves, external matter. We have swabhava. We have our acquired nature, that which we've brought with us. Mental baggage, if you will, from past lifetimes. Then what's the next one? Ashaya. Ashaya. What is the meaning of the word ashaya? In the translation, Prabhupada says culture. What does culture mean? What? Society, social conventions maybe, arts, fine arts, isn't this called culture? But there's a different word for that in Sanskrit, that's called Sanskriti. It's not the same thing. So let's look at the word for word, and Srila Prabhupada says here, by culture. We don't get any further illumination, and neither does Srila Prabhupada address it in the purport yet, which we haven't read for a reason. So, ashaya, according to Sridhar Swami, means ashayaha samskaraha. Samskara. What does samskara mean? It's a reformatory ritual that you perform to cleanse the subtle body in some way. What else does it mean? Samskara. It's the psychological... What was one scholar I saw translated this term very nicely. He said... instinct. Samskara means your instinct. Gut instinct. The way that you react to something that you experience in this world, the first reaction you have, that is called samskara. Different scholars have looked at this word in different ways, but this is how Sridhar Swami in his Bhavartha Deepika, he translates ashaya as samskara. Let's look at some other authorities. According to the dictionary, Yajnavalkya, great Smritikara, author of the Smriti literatures, he feels that the samskara means, or rather ashaya means, the seat of your feelings and your thoughts. That is to say, the mind, the heart, the soul. This is what Yajnavalkya's understanding is. According to Ramayana and other sources, it means your intention or the meaning of what you intend. This is ashaya. Samskara. In yoga literature, it's called the stock or balance of the fruits of your previous actions, which lie stored up in the mind in the form of mental deposits of merit or demerit, until they ripen in the individual's experience into rank, years, and enjoyment. And other literature says it's your disposition, your mode of thinking in general. All these things are indicated by ashaya, which is also translated sometimes as will or pleasure, what you want, your virtue or your vice. Sometimes we say he has good samskaras. Sometimes we say he's got bad samskaras, isn't it? This is a virtue or vice. Your fate, your fortune. Sometimes it also means that. Now, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, what does he say? Very nice verse. Because we're talking this whole passage of the Srimad Bhagavatam, remember, Jarabharata explains to Maharaj Rahugana, how do you go from one body to another? Shariram yat avapnoti yat chapi kramatishvaraha grahitvaitana sanyati vayur gandhan ivashayat. Ashayat. As a result of ashaya. I don't know if Krishna is speaking tongue-in-cheek in this verse or not, but it certainly seems to be an odd choice of words for that context. What does the verse mean in chapter 15? Anybody know this one? How the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another. Shiriram yadavapnoti yachatukramatishvaraha. And he gives up one body, he goes on to another. Grihitvaitane sanyati vayur gandhani vashayat. It is just like the smell of a flower, which is based in the flower, but the smell is distinct from the flower. You're smelling the flower. You're not actually smelling the flower. You're smelling the smell. Remember, we were talking in the last verse, gandhakriti sparsharasa sravangsi. The sense objects and the senses themselves are different. So the smell is different from the flower. But ashaya, the flower is the seat of that smell. That's how Krishna uses the term there. But I say it's tongue-in-cheek because Krishna is talking about how the living entity changes from one body to another body. And the same thing is mentioned there as is mentioned in this verse. Ashaya means your samskara. Samskara. These are three factors so far. Material elements, or rather to say this material sense objects, your swabhava, your inclination, your samskara, your mental situation, your psychology, if you will. And then there's another object here, item in the list, karma. Oh, this is big. Sometimes in Sanskrit, the words that everybody knows, the easy words, they're actually the harder words. So what does karma mean? Activities and? Cause and effect. Anything else? Sometimes we say karma means your karmic reaction, isn't it? Oh, he's got bad karma, right? So karma means quite a few things. Here, Sridhar Swami says karma means adrishtam. Adrishtam. What is adrishtam? Huh? Your luck? I didn't hear what you said. Lucky? Maybe. Everyone, please turn off your cell phone if you don't mind. Thank you. Anybody know this philosophical term, adrishtam? It also means apurvam. They're the same thing. Apurvam and adrishtam, they mean the same thing. This is jargon. This is coming from karma mimamsa philosophy. The karma mimamsakas, they say that everything is karma. And according to the dictionary, adrishtam, or karma in the sense of adrishtam, means your unseen fate. Therefore, it's called adrishtam. Adrishtam means it's not seen, literally. Apurvam means there's no precedent for this. Because every karmic reaction is unique, isn't it? So, it means that which is generated by actions and will bring about later fruits. Your karmic reaction, if you will. So it's karma in a very limited sense. It means karma as your destiny, is what Prabhupada translates it here. Destiny, and in the word-for-word synonyms, he also says, predestined resultant actions. The unseen power of your past deeds, some unknown quality that arranges for your later experience. All that is called adrishtam or karma. So, and Prabhupada says these are the causes. Huh? So karma is a very complex thing. There are different kinds of karmas. Very, very complex. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, karma, you cannot understand it. Anybody know the verse? Karmano hyapi bodhavyam bodhavyam shave karmana. Vikarmanashte bodhavyam karmana gahanogatihi. Karmano gahanagati, he says. It's very difficult to understand the workings of karma. So that's the fourth element. We have dravya, the sense objects. We have svabhava, your acquired nature. We have ashaya, the film that resides in your mind from past experience that impels you to act again in similar ways. That's called ashaya or samskara. Then we have karma, the results of your past activities. It's not just a question of what you want or what you're inclined for. You also are limited by your credit line, so to speak, in terms of your past activities. And just because you qualify for a platinum card doesn't mean that you're going to be able to buy everything that you want. You have a limited credit line, depending on your past spending habits, isn't it? This is the world of credit cards. So similarly in karma, it works like that. So karma can be a delimiting factor, as here, because we're talking about adrishtam, what you don't know. What you're bringing to the table from the past life, we don't know that thing because it's unseen. Then finally, the last item here, kalaihi. Kala, what does kala mean? Time. Time. And Srila Prabhupada has translated here, kala, by time. And in his translation, he says it's the time element. And Sridhar Swami, in his commentary, he says, kala means kshobhaka. Kshobhaka. What does kshobhaka mean? The agitator. That which shakes you up. That which disturbs your world. This is called kala. Because the time factor will do that. Automatically, all you have to do is exist in this world and you will be agitated. It is guaranteed. What it is going to cause that agitation? Your karma, your adrishta, your unseen karmic reactions. It's going to react in a certain way because you've got a preset mindset. You've got a predetermined mindset, ashaya. You have your svabhava that impels you to desire certain things. And therefore you're chasing after all these dravyas, all these sense objects. Now, Sridhar Swami goes on to further say in his commentary, tasam vrittinam avantara bhedayer anantyamaha. He's talking about, he meaning Shukdev Goswami here, he's talking about the unlimited nature of the subdivisions of all these different mental changes that we go through. They're unlimited. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, the physical elements, nature, the original cause, culture, destiny, and the time element are all material causes. Agitated by these material causes, the 11 functions transform into hundreds of functions, and then into thousands, and then into millions. But all these transformations do not take place automatically by mutual combination. Rather, they are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, what do we mean when we say, when this verse says, sahasrashaha shatashaha kotishascha, first by hundreds, thousands, then by tens of thousands, then by millions? What does it mean? Bohushaka hinantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. Anybody know the verse? Vyavasayatnika buddhire keha kuru nandana bohushaka hinantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. What else does Krishna say about this? Bhogaishwarya? Samadhana vidhiyate. Samadhi is not enjoined for those whose minds are too attached to so many things of this world. And this is how the attachment transpires. These are the agents, these are the mechanisms through which that attachment expands and increases. It's not static process, it is dynamic process. Your material entanglement is always developing organically. It's always expanding. It's dynamic. These are the agents of that vritti, manasat vritti, mental change, mental transformation. And it's important, back to put it back in context, because we are accepting one body after another. The Sankhya program is entirely to analyze our material incarceration and to try to extricate ourselves through a very careful process of elimination. through a very careful process of discrimination. Neti neti, I'm not this false ego. I'm not the prakriti. I'm not the mahatattva. I'm not these gyanendriyas. I'm not the karmendriyas. I'm not the panchamahabhutas. Right? And then we have the items today. I'm not these dravyas. I'm not my swabhava. That's a big snag, isn't it, for many people. We get snagged on this sense. I'm not the ashaya, neither am I my karma or the time factor. So, bahushaka hinantasha. Life becomes complicated. This is what he's saying here. This is his point. Life becomes so complicated because all these elements are working with each other. You have 11 mental functions already, and how many others are added? There are 5 more added, but one of them is unlimited. Which one is unlimited? The dravyas. They're unlimited. Sense objects are unlimited. They're defined by the other changes. What you regard as appealing is defined by your samskara, by your ashaya, your mental state, your predisposition, your karma. What is overwhelmingly irresistible to one person is no big deal for another person. So the dravyas they're all relative to our material incarcerated, codependent, you can say, interdependent on each other. So that is the meaning of avantarabhedai. I asked you already to turn your cell phones off, sir. Thank you. Avantarabheda means subdivisions. So it becomes very complicated life, and therefore it becomes very confusing. How confusing? Krishna says in chapter 15 again. Anybody know? Beginning? What is he talking about in chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita? I'm talking about a big banyan tree, isn't it? Banyan tree. There's so many leaves, there's so many branches, and they come down again and form new roots, and nobody can tell which one is the original one. In Kolkata, in the botanical garden, there's a huge banyan tree. It's about a mile square. This huge banyan tree. That big. Nobody can tell where is the beginning, where is the end. But Krishna says with the sword of detachment, we should slash our way out of this entanglement. Now, how do we do that? Gyanasina, it said, with the sword of knowledge. That means by the mercy of the spiritual master. So, this brings us to the real purport of this verse, which we haven't read yet, which Srila Prabhupada is giving us in a nutshell. One simple point. We have a very complex problem here, our material incarceration, but we have one simple solution if we realize this. Let us hear. Swami Charanat, as they say. One should not think that all the interactions of the physical elements, gross and subtle, the cause of the transformation of the mind and consciousness, are working independently. They are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, this is again chapter 15, Krishna says that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Sarvasyachaham hridasannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. As mentioned herein, Supersoul, Kshetrajna, is directing everything. The living entity is also Kshetrajna, but the supreme Kshetrajna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the witness and order giver. Under his direction, everything takes place. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishthati. Brahmayan sarvabhutani yantrarurhani mayaya. This is another confirmation. Anybody know that verse? What does it mean? Ishvara sarvabhutanam. Krishna is in the hearts of all living beings, directing their wanderings. This is how he's directing the wanderings. This verse is explaining that process. And Prabhupada's purport is emphasizing this fact. As mentioned herein, the Supersoul, Kshetrajna, is directing everything. This is a next sentence, is Prabhupada is getting this from Sridhar Swami. The living entity is also Kshetrajna, but the supreme Kshetrajna is the Supreme Personality. God, he is a witness and order giver. Under his direction, everything takes place. The different inclinations of the living entity are created by his own nature or his expectations. So here Prabhupada is talking about two things, ashaya and also swabhava. And he is trained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of material nature. How is that training taking place? That's by the other elements that we mentioned here. The dravyas, the karmas, and the kala. Because you're going to get kicked by that process. We have our swabhava, and we're chasing after our aspirations. And when we do so, we get kicked. This is the Supreme Lord's arrangement. This is his mercy. Tough love. You can say. So, the body, nature, and physical elements are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They do not function automatically. This is again, Sridhar Swami says, Natu mithasyur natasvata kintu kshetar jnataha parameshwaratvat. He has unlimited potency. He can do anything. And as my godbrother Gurudas, he said very eloquently once, devotional service renders physical laws elastic. This is Krishna. Or as Sridhar Swami says, tasya jnanam sa shaktitvat anantaha syuhu iti artha. So, these are some things here. Finally, Srila Prabhupada says, they do not function automatically. Nature is neither independent nor automatic. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is behind nature. Who knows the verse? Mayadhyakshena prakriti? This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. End of Bhaktivedanta purport. Does anybody have any questions or comments on these points? Very interesting part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Archita Prabhu.
And it seems to be reinforced by this presentation is that then God is responsible for everything. So we're well within our right to blame God. I get fired, it's God's fault. Mm-hmm. I don't get what I want, it's God's fault. You know, everything seems to be God's fault because he's directing everything and even says here, ordering, acts by his order. So it seems that whatever somebody does is under God's order, so it's all his fault.
Very good point. So if we're emphasizing, this verse is emphasizing the fact that Prabhupada's purport in particular is emphasizing the fact that Krishna is in charge of everything. Therefore, your suffering and your enjoyment is Krishna's fault, no? Usually we like to argue with this, right? I mean, actually, in Krishna consciousness, anytime you have an apparent contradiction like this, there are always two answers. So usually we like to argue with this because we don't like to malign Krishna in any way. I'm going to agree with you today, and I'm going to say, tough, do something about it. That's what we're in this world for. He's a transcendental despot, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, and there's nothing you can do about it. TK? Nothing you can do about it. Now, there is another answer. As I said, every question has at least two answers in Krishna consciousness, and quite often they're contradictory. So the other answer is given in which chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Anybody know what I'm thinking? Chapter 13, are we getting warm? Purusa sukha dukhanam. Huh? Anybody know the verse? Karya karana kartrutve hetuhu prakriti ruchate. All the causes. Here, this is interesting. Speaking of cause, there are two kinds of causes. Anybody know this? Karana? There's a nimitta and there's upadan. These are two kinds of causes. One is, nimitta means the instrumental cause, as the loom is to the cloth. You cannot make cloth without a loom. Or you will, but it will be very coarse. Everybody knows khadi is different than no cloth, right? So the loom is the instrumental cause of the cloth. Then the upadan, that is the material cause. What is that? That is the thread. What you're actually, the dravyas, if you will, what you're working with. But there's a higher cause than that. What is that? Sarva karana karanam. That is Govinda, Krishna. He is the real person who's making everything work. So Krishna says, the material nature is the source of the causes. karya karana kartrtve, the material hetuhu prakriti ruchite. Prakriti is called the cause of the three things, the task which is done, karya, karana, the either one of these two causes that are involved, and kartri, the doer, kartritva, doerness, you can say. Prakriti gives all those things. But purusha sukha dukhanam bhoktritve hetu rochate. The purusha himself, that is the living entity, he chooses what to do with these things, with all these different causes. He chooses what he's going to do. That is not Krishna's doing. That is your doing, sir. So Krishna has all these elements are in place, and ultimately you can still argue that Krishna has arranged this system of karma and kala and swabhava and ashaya and dravya and all the things that we're discussing today, the 11 transformations that complicate them even further, the functions of the mind. You can say, well, Krishna's put this system into place. Why? Well, that is his mercy. Because we have an infection. We will suffer. We cannot, we want something we cannot have, and we suffer as long as we maintain that futile aspiration. Therefore, Krishna has arranged the material world where you can try to get what you want, but you keep getting frustrated. That is mercy, ultimately. And meanwhile, he is not, this is why Prabhupada is emphasizing here that Krishna is not just leaving this thing on autopilot. He's monitoring us at every step of the way. Upatrishtanu mantacha, again, that's back in the same chapter, Bhagavad Gita. He's looking over things. He's giving us guidance from within the heart. He's sending us all facility. He's sending the devotees. He's sending the guru. He's sending the sadhus, the shastra. The deity is here. Tulsirani, Kirtan, Bhagavatam, Prasadam, all these things. These are Krishna's mercy in material existence so that we can get out. So I think, this is my opinion, personal opinion, that is why Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing, of all the things that he could have said in this short, simple purport, he is emphasizing the fact that everything is working under the transcendental control of Lord Krishna. So we have to reconcile that. How is it that there are some philosophers who say that this is Krishna's lila, our suffering is Krishna's lila? That's not really our philosophy. So his doership, if you will, is limited. And so is ours. Is that okay? Anything else? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.